You're listening to a podcast from the Lakes Church in Cairns, Australia.
In the little town of Nazareth lived a young woman named Mary. She was looking forward to getting married.
An angel told Mary that she was going to have a son and she had to name it Jesus.
Because that angel came down and told Mary.
She was very surprised because she was only a teenager.
Don't be afraid, said the angel. God has chosen you for something very special. You're going to have a baby, God's own son. You must call him Jesus.
Well, Mary told Joseph that I'm going to have a baby.
I think Mary told Joseph and Joseph was a bit worried, and then an angel came down in a dream to him and said, don't be afraid, and take Mary as your wife.
I'm done.
They went to Bethlehem. The town was very busy, and the only place to stay in was a room full of animals. There, Mary's baby was born. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and she laid him to sleep in a manger.
Because back in those days, they had no hospitals and no one, all the places were full, so they couldn't have them.
Out in the field nearby, shepherds were watching their sheep. An angel appeared.
Do not be afraid, said the angel. Tonight in Bethlehem, a baby has been born, God's special king, who will bring God's blessings to the world. I think they sang the chorus of Angels We Have Heard on High.
They sang like a song that's like Gloria or something.
And then the angels told the shepherds to go to Bethlehem to worship him.
Far away, wise men saw a special star in the night sky. It is a sign that the new king has been born, they said. We must go and find him.
So there were
three wise men? Well, actually, we don't know that there was three wise men, but
Those three gifts.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Like, he was the son of God and he was part of God's rescue plan.
He was the son of God and our saviour.
So he can die on the cross for us and teach other people about God.
He died on the cross for our sins so we can have eternal life.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Wherever you're watching from, whoever you're watching with, I'm so glad that you chose to take a few minutes out of your Christmas celebrations to spend with us as we focus on Jesus in the middle of Christmas. When I was 19, I got a dog. He was a rescue dog from the Animal Welfare League, and he was grey and black, a little bit of a crossbreed of a couple of different types of cattle dog, and I named him Cyrus. He had stacks of energy. But it was okay because I lived in a share house with a big backyard with a group of guys and there was lots of room for Cyrus to run around. Now, I do need to let you know that I did buy him on a little bit of a whim. I rescued him on a little bit of a whim. I mean, there was some thought and some planning, but there was a bit of emotion and a bit of excitement in the decision. And my youth pastor and mentor at the time said to me that a puppy isn't for Christmas. A puppy is for life. You might have heard that statement before. The RSPCA in Australia has a book that they released called A Pet Isn't Just for Christmas. Over in the UK, there's been an advertising slogan that a puppy isn't just for Christmas, a puppy is for life. And then recently, in the last year, with all of the quarantines and lockdowns, they updated it to say that a puppy isn't just for quarantine or a puppy isn't just for lockdown, a puppy is for life. And the idea and the meaning behind that is that people like me get excited, get emotional, get romantic about the idea of having this beautiful puppy, and we get one for Christmas, but then we're not actually prepared for the commitment that having a puppy lasts for life. What does it really mean to be a pet owner in January and in February and in September, year after year after year? But I know that if there's anyone watching today who, under the Christmas tree, opened a present and there was a puppy inside, You must be over the moon this morning. Your family would be so stoked if that happened in your household. And I know that you have the best of intentions to raise this puppy, to be committed to it, and to not just have a puppy for Christmas, but have a puppy for life. But unfortunately for me, despite my best intentions, and despite me wanting to prove my youth pastor and mentor wrong, eventually I realized that I actually couldn't commit to looking after Cyrus, my dog. And I was able to find a friend who lived on a property, so there was a lot more room for him to run around, and I was able to give Cyrus to my friend, and he was able to live a happy life there with my mate. But, you know, when we say that a dog isn't just for Christmas, a dog is for life, we can also say that Jesus isn't just for Christmas. Jesus is for life. But as we celebrate Christmas this week, we have all of these emotional ideas, even romantic ideas about Jesus. And that's all good and okay. Like the story, as the kids just retold for us, is an amazing story. It's a beautiful story. The idea of Jesus as a baby, how funny the donkey is when he's portrayed in movies and storybooks, the incredible events. We're going to sing in a moment or enjoy the Christmas carol, Joy to the World. And Jesus brought joy when he was born. Jesus brought hope to the world. Jesus brought light and life and forgiveness and acceptance to the world when he came. There's so much that we can celebrate about the Christmas event, but Jesus isn't just for Christmas. Jesus is for life. And he also asks something of us. He offers joy, he offers hope, he offers forgiveness and acceptance, but he asks something of us in return. When Jesus grew up, in John chapter 8, in verse 12, he said one day, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of life. He offers that to you this Christmas, but he's not just for Christmas. He offers this every single day, but he asks something of us. He says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So just by watching this video today, you have oriented your Christmas around Jesus. And you're probably doing that in lots of other ways throughout this week. But what about your life? How can you orient your life? How can you orient your January? How can you focus your February on Jesus? How can your life center on Jesus in September and for year after year after year throughout your life? How can you make Jesus not just part of your Christmas, but part of your whole life, to keep listening to him, to keep shaping your life around him, to keep trying to get to know him and understand who he is, and as he said, to keep following him. That's the invitation this Christmas, to make Jesus not just about Christmas, but to make Jesus about your whole life. We're going to enjoy some carols in just a moment, but first I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you this Christmas as you gather with whoever is around you today, and as you spend Christmas, I hope, I trust, with family and friends. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much for your birth, your first arrival, for how beautiful the story is, how incredible the story is. And we also thank you that you are not just for Christmas, but you are for life and you are for eternal life. And so we ask that you would help us to do our small part in responding to you and in following you. And we know that you will do your huge part in bringing joy, in bringing light, in bringing forgiveness, in bringing acceptance to us every single day. We thank you and we celebrate you this Christmas in your name. Amen. With these carols, we have partnered with Dan and Jess Hammond from Melbourne, who did a number of worship sets and songs for us during Church Online throughout this year. Well, they're back with some Christmas carols. So what I invite you to do is just leave this video playing, whether you watch and sing along or you just leave them on in the background while you continue your Christmas festivities. I hope you have a really wonderful Jesus-focused Christmas this year.